Pass the salt.
It's time. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, you know, my Catholic tradition, my Catholic upbringing, this would have been called what? Maudry Thursday? Wasn't that? I never understood what that was, but we always celebrated in church. And this is it, isn't it? Huh? Tonight's the last night that the Obama is going to sleep in that White House. Brothers, if there was ever time to do a happy dance, from my perspective, boy, it sure is now. And it's almost impossible for us to even be able to conceive what we've lived under for the past 8 years. It's like I don't even remember life before the Obamas. So I'm 64. What am I, honey? 64. Am I 60? What is today? And yeah, I'm 64 years old. And 8 years ago when Barack Obama was elected, I was 56. We've lived under more demonic oppression in the last 8 years than any time that I've been alive. And whether we understand this or not, there is a accelerating of this spiritual battle that's raging before us. Don't ever forget, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against evil spirits in high places, and that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They work in a carnal world. I'm going to say that again. Our weapons work in the carnal world, but our weapons are not carnal. Oh, that's good. I'm going to camp right there a second. Our weapons are not carnal, but they are applicable to the carnal world. See, what happens in the spiritual realm shows up in the natural realm. So for us to think that they're just otherworldly and don't, see, they empower us. They empower us here. Remember, the Bible says that God is a spirit. And those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. God doesn't have a body like we do. Jesus doesn't have a body like we do. He did it one time. He doesn't have it now. The devil doesn't have a body like we have. They are spirits. We are a spirit. But God formed man out of the dust of the earth, breathed in him the breath of life, and man became a living soul. We are a spirit that possesses a soul. We're not a body. The body is just a shell that carries us around. So when we talk about spiritual things and that the weapons of our warfare aren't physical, no, they're spiritual. But spiritual things connect to the world. Oh, man, if we could begin to see that. Because, see, we have people that who don't understand that. They don't understand it to this degree. They think there's a clear separation between the spiritual realm and the physical realm. That's just not true. That just is not true.
The devil knows about it because he uses those spiritual demonic possessions and things to take over physical bodies and meddle in the physical world.
Larry, we have kind of a casual understanding of it, but it doesn't even really make sense to us. And so, you know, again, I'm trying to say to people, said, listen, it's demonic. Don't you understand this is demonic? And they look at me and they tilt their head. See, we haven't even been taught in our churches that the demonic realm is at work. Welcome to Pass the Salt here on Thursday, Maudry Thursday. We are getting ready to go to Washington, D.C. I was worried today that I thought, man, we're not going to have anybody in the queue because I got Rich. Big Rich is upstairs eating too much food. Robert's up there eating too much food. And Andrews is up there eating too much food. And Tim Tube, all the way from Oregon, is up there eating too much food. So I thought we wouldn't have a crowd. But we're filled up in here. It's good to see all of you. And we're excited, man. We're excited. It's like Thursday night before a football game. And Big Rich just walked in down here. I want him, because we're talking about spiritual things, Rich, I want you to, maybe you can even come over and put on the headphones and sit down here for a second. I want you to talk to, come on over, Rich. Come around this way, if you will. So you don't, I want you to talk about the guy who's the Bikers for Christ. And as you've been following him, what's kind of going on? Big Rich is big. How tall are you, Rich? He's 6'5", so he's going to sit down in this 5'6". Seen a little bit. I'm just going to let him tell you what he's observed about what's going on, and then we'll move on. Here, go ahead and put this on. Yeah, there we are. There we are. Can you hear me? I can't hear them. Anyway, I've been following a guy for a month now over this Bikers from Trump. I got a Harley and I just stumbled on him. He doesn't appear to be a Christian guy. I mean, he never talks about spiritual things, but he is pretty much the online spokesman for this Bikers from Trump. He's got a big motor home with Make America Great Again and a Trump photo of Trump on it. And anyway, I've been following his videos a little bit and he arrived out there yesterday and he went from a biker to a spiritual side that I haven't seen in him in the month and a half that I've been watching him. He is talking about demonic power. He is talking about the feeling of oppression. The moment he pulled in there and he walked around and interviewed many people. And I was telling Coach and the guys this morning, listening to his video from 3 hours ago, he is in absolute panic fear mode. He is telling his viewers, the Bikers, put your wife on a plane and send them home. They have no business here. If you are not ready to die, go home. He said, it is, the feeling is unbelievable. There's already, he said there was more people yesterday than he could see. He said it was like a sea of people out. And he said, and this is on Wednesday. So anyway, I think what we were talking about this morning is, you know, that power of the Holy Ghost. We are excited about going. We don't want to die, but yet are willing. And that spiritual power that's in us takes over, brings that peace that surpasses understanding that this man clearly does not possess. And like I said, that transition from the last month and a half to today is like you turn the page and it's a completely different person. And he said people out there are scared to death. There are hundreds of thousands. They are fearful. The police are fearful. And the comment the police made to him was they are grateful that Trump is Bikers for Trump are coming. They need the help. And the people said that their faith is in the Bikers. So that's our faith isn't, but we welcome them anyway. Anything else you want me to talk about, Dave? Okay. Hey, God bless you guys. So see what I said, Rich, you hearing me okay? What I said to Rich was this, this isn't a spiritual man, see? This biker for Trump, he's not a spiritual man. So even the unsaved world can feel oppression, can feel something's going on. And so he's scared because Connor's report on YouTube, Connor, C-O-N-N-O-R-S, Connor's report, E-R-S. And so they're feeling the oppression, and because they're not spiritual people, they don't understand it. See, now I've already told our guy, I'm not trying to scare anybody. Listen, we're going to be fine. We're going to be fine. But understand, see, are you ready? Here's what's going on. See, those guys are feeling spiritual smoke. There's a battle going on in the heavenlies, and they're feeling the smoke. They don't know what it is. But they're smart enough to understand, man, there's something going on. And he who's spiritual judges all things. They're not spiritual. They don't get it, but they see the smoke. And they cannot figure out what's going on. And so, first of all, understand this. We don't operate by fear. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. All right? And the enemy is doing everything he can to try to scare us. That's how he operates. Scare us. I'm not afraid. I don't have a spirit of fear. We're going to go and we're going to walk in victory. We're going to go into Washington, D.C., walk in victory and carry in the King of Kings on our shoulders. That's what we're going to do. We're on a mission. So understand that you've been watching CNN, you've been watching all that stuff, and that video we watched yesterday where that guy totally made up what was going on down there. It has nothing to do with us. We prayed Psalm 91 yesterday. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High abides under the shadow of the Almighty. Did you think about that? God has a shadow? Huh? There's a shadow? He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High abides under the shadow of the Almighty? There's a shadow. See, all the things that we see in the natural realm, it's in the spiritual realm as well. So we're walking in faith and victory, and we're going to go down there. And we're going to have, I was telling Rich this morning, man, it's good to have men in my house. Gosh, darn it. I said, you know, we wouldn't be in as big a mess if more men were challenged to live out their faith like this. This is fun. This is fun. Some guys take off vacation time and go golf, and some take off vacation time and go lay on the beach. Some take off vacation time and go someplace up in the mountains and drink beer for a week. Brother, we're going to Disneyland. It's in Washington, D.C. We're excited to go. We're not afraid to go. We're excited to go. And here's the thing. Tim Tubra is upstairs. Pastor Tim, you guys see him in here every morning. He's never been to D.C. Rich has never been to D.C. Robert was there once as a little kid. I think he said Michael's been there once. We got guys, just the experience of going to Washington, D.C. is going to be amazing. But I got a real quick little video I want to show you here. It's about 5 minutes. And I want you to show you what Rich was talking about with this biker guy who doesn't understand spiritual things. This is a five-minute video on the demonic setup structurally of Washington, D.C. Now, guys, listen. Scripture is very, very clear that we wrestle not Ephesians 6. Let's go there real quick, Jared. I wasn't going to go there, but then I'm going to come back. But I want us to see that I want this word to get into you. And I don't know about you guys. We were discussing this morning. When you read Psalm 91 yesterday, there was a power that came through those airways of that word like I can't even tell you. We all said the same thing. Said, man, I felt that. Wow. I felt that, the power of that word. Ephesians, what did I say? Ephesians 6. I'm sorry, Jared, I wasn't prepared on my own. Yeah, Jared's always ahead of me there. He's got it up there on the screen. Jared, let's go back up. Let's start up a little bit sooner than this. JR said over here on the side, it's a physical battle with spiritual manifestations. Brothers, it is, man. It is. Now, stay right there. That's be good. Let's verse 5. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart as unto Christ. Be obedient to your masters. Hang on. Who are your masters? Better settle that first in your heart. Not with eye service, as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. You know who my master is? And I'm going to serve him, not with eye service. I'm not going to do it just so everybody watch me look good in front of everybody to please men. I'm going to do it as a servant. So I'm going to Washington, D.C. With goodwill, doing service, there you are, as to the Lord, not the men. Knowing that whatsoever good thing any man does, the same shall he receive from the Lord. Is that a promise, Rich? Whatever you do good for the Lord, he's going to reward you. That's him saying that. That's not me saying, hey, you know, if you do good, the Lord will answer. No, no, he says it right here. Knowing that whatsoever good thing any man does, the same shall he receive from the Lord, whether he be bond or whether he be free. Man, oh man, there's a payoff. And your masters do the same thing unto them, forbearing threatening. He said, don't threaten them. Knowing that your master also is in heaven, neither is there respect of persons with him. Robert Sellers up there drove all the way from near Atlanta. He's just as important as anybody else. He's just as important as Donald J. Trump. Maybe not as powerful, but just as important. Verse 10. And he says, finally, my brothers. He's speaking to the brothers. He ain't speaking to everybody. Got that? Finally, my brothers, he said, be strong in the Lord. Not weak in the Lord. Be strong in the Lord. See, we've taught in Christianity, be weak in the Lord. Be weak, be meek, be weak, 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 weak. No, no, no. Be strong in the Lord. Be strong in the Lord, brothers. And what? In the power of his might. Wherever you go, if you're born again of the Spirit of God, you're carrying the Holy Spirit inside of you, and you are powerful in his might. Quit saying, making yourself a lowly servant. Stop saying that. Yes, we understand you are a lowly servant, but you are a vessel filled with the Holy Spirit of God from on high, who said, all power is given unto me. Go ye therefore. So you got the great commission and the great commandment from the commander in chief. He says, go, boys. It's good stuff. Give me a thumbs up. Say, coach, that's good preaching right there. That's some good preaching right there. Right? Finally, my brothers, be strong in the Lord, power of the light. Put on the whole armor of God that you might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Now, hey, if there's not a physical manifestation of this battle, why is he telling us to get armed up here? It says, put on the full armor of God. Put it on. Spiritual armor. But I don't know if you know this or not. Sometimes getting hurt physically is a spiritual experience. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities. Let that sink in. Principalities against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. See, the guy, the biker for Trump guy, he don't want, you know what he don't realize? We're going into a high place, see. Washington, D.C., when you talk about principality power and you talk about the spiritual realm, boys, that's the mountaintop of wickedness, spiritual wickedness in high places. And isn't it amazing that that's where Paul's telling us we're supposed to go? Put on whole armor, arm yourself, and you go. So here's this brother who in the natural is feeling a spiritual power and he doesn't know what it is. Well, we do. We do. And so the very idea of Washington, D.C., governmental power, understand that that is a demonic realm. And if you don't realize it, even though Jesus Christ is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, we have tried to dethrone him. We've tried to take him off of the throne in America and allow some other principality to sit in his position. Okay? And so we're at the apex, or we're at the 2-minute warning of a big battle here, where the devil's trying to make a goal line stand. And he's blitzing and he's putting too many men on the field. He's doing everything he can at this moment to counteract the Spirit of God that is in us, that is moving here and now. I'm not trying to make this any more dramatic than what it really, really is. And I'm not saying that that there's something great about us. We're just a SWAT team, boys. We just signed up, and our commander-in-chief says, hey, need you there? We don't ask questions. We just go, right? Because we know that there's principalities and powers. We read yesterday that if we dwell in a secret place of the Most High, we're going to abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Feel like I'm going in circles, but I want you to get this deep inside of you, okay? Now, when we're talking about principalities and powers, I got this little 5-minute video I want you to watch. We don't talk much about the Masons, the Masonic. But Washington, D.C. is laid out in a clear demonic pattern. I'm going to show you this in this video. Also want you to know this. So's the Vatican. In fact, some of the same symbolism that you see in Washington, D.C., you're going to see in the Vatican. Now, you draw your own conclusion on that one. But understand, no matter which side you're on, people are appealing to higher spirits, higher forces, higher principalities. 5-minute video here, Washington, D.C. Some of you probably have never seen this, the way Washington, D.C. was laid out. Go ahead and play that, Jared.
From UFOs to ghost and psychic powers, history is
riddled
with unexplained events. You can turn back now or learn the stuff they don't want you to know. Washington, D.C. is one of the world's most important cities. Here, the future of America is decided. But who makes these decisions? The president? Congress? Some believe there is a force behind the throne of elected office, one with international reach and none of the rules constraining public officials, the Brotherhood of Free and Accepted Masons. Could Freemasons really control Washington? How do we know? Here are the facts. No one knows when the Freemasons originally formed, but the group rose to prominence in the 17th century, making it older than the United States. This secretive organization places great power in ancient imagery. Their traditions are steeped in symbolism, but no outside observers know what these symbols represent or what kind of power the images are supposed to have. Over the centuries, Freemasonry expanded from England to countries across the globe. Today, there are more than 6 million Masons worldwide. In the U.S., Freemasonry continues the same secret tradition as its European founders, and the leaders of U.S. Masonry congregate in Washington, D.C., where some researchers say they've etched their strange obsession with symbols onto the city streets. Washington, D.C. was founded on July 16, 1790, and named after George Washington, who was both the nation's first president and a powerful Freemason. Some of the city's designers were also rumored to be Freemasons. But I've been to D.C. It doesn't look that strange. The conservative Greco-Roman buildings seem normal for a nation's capital. When I spent a week in Washington, I didn't notice any signs of masonry, but maybe I should have paid closer attention. To some observers, the city is chock full of Masonic imagery, from the strange statues scattered around the mall to the eerie Washington Monument. Take, for example, the House of the Temple. Located at the heart of D.C. at 16th and S Street, the House of the Temple holds the Supreme Council of the Scottish Rite, the center of all Masonic activity in North America. The multi-million dollar building also houses one of the world's most extensive collections of Masonic literature. The Masons present themselves as a service organization, a harmless charity. So why have conspiracy theorists paid so much attention to Freemasonry? And why is a harmless charity based in a top-secret building in the middle of downtown Washington, just walking distance to the National Mall? The National Mall brings us to another oddity, the Washington Monument. As homages go, a statue would suffice. Why reproduce an ancient Egyptian artifact? Here's where it gets crazy. The Washington Monument is actually an obelisk, a type of magical symbol found in Egypt, the Middle East, and Asia. Some sources believe the Washington obelisk rests upon a ley line. These ley lines are invisible, mystical currents of energy that span the globe, connecting ancient sites of power like Stonehenge and Dinkin temples. Ley line theorists believe this energy can be used to cause hallucinations or natural disasters, such as earthquakes and magnetic anomalies. The location of the Washington Monument may allow its controllers to harness this natural energy for their own purposes, whatever those may be. And why is our Department of Defense based in a Pentagon? Speculation varies. Some anti-Mason activists believe the Pentagon is built to replicate earlier structures built by the Knights Templar, one of history's most successful secret societies and the world's first international bankers. Others think the shape of the Pentagon creates a reservoir of energy from the ley lines, giving Washington's rulers a way to store the harnessed potential. Think of it as a gigantic battery, slowly building up a charge. These buildings are strange, but architecture doesn't necessarily mean a secret society controls Washington. It's a bit of a leap in logic. What about the geography? Some believe the geography of Washington mimics important occult and Masonic symbols. The bizarre street layout traces acute angles rather than grids. This might look normal on the ground, but if we view the city from the air, things get strange. From overhead, the layout bears an eerie resemblance to a pentagram, a symbol commonly associated with ancient Greeks, Gnostic Christianity, and black magic. Fringe researchers think DC's street design takes advantage of ley lines to focus this geomantic or earth-based energy on the Capitol and the White House. It reminds me of the Nazca lines, enormous ancient shapes traced in the Peruvian desert. Could they be related? We already know Washington is a town built on secrets. The nation's national security and financial stability rest on the decisions made in the Pentagon and Congress, many of which the average citizen will never witness firsthand. Even the most skeptical observer will note the odd layout of DC's streets and the strange conceits in our national symbols. This is the country that slapped a floating eye and pyramid on our dollars. The eagle was a Masonic symbol before it became our national bird. Looking at the evidence, it's hard to deny that symbols in the U.S. match symbols in Freemasonry. But why? This could all be a coincidence. The imagery could be nothing more than decoration. But if the Masons believe that symbols themselves have powers, then what kind of power are they trying to generate? Is it merely psychological? Or could it be something more? Something they don't want you to know.
Wow, huh? Wow. So again, say, well, coach, who believes that stuff? They do. They do. So, you know, we can fall into the trap of saying, well, what is that line again? God said it. I believe it. That settles it. See, the other side says, you don't believe it? I don't care. It's real. It doesn't matter. It's real to them. And so we get this guy, this Bikers for Trump guy shows up in there and says, wow, there's something going on here. There's an energy force going on around this place. You see it, don't you? I mean, you see the fight that's taking place right in front of us. You see the clash of the titans. Come on, you got to see it. You have to see it. Big Rich and I were having a discussion yesterday evening. Even about Trump, you know, which side's he really on? And if he really is against these guys, are they really going to let him live? Or as Rich said, if he really is, wouldn't they have already gotten rid of him if he really is the anti-whatever is going on in Washington, D.C.? Now, see, here's what's going to happen. Some of you are going to go to church on Sunday, and you're going to talk to people at church about you, and they're going to look at you like you're crazy. Oh, are you kidding me? George Washington was a Christian. All of our founders were Christians. Well, what does that mean? What does that mean they were Christians? Do you know that? Oh, I'll be careful if I say that. Okay, I'll say it, Lord. The Southern Baptist Convention, Southern Baptists are laden with Masons. You know that? Can you be a Christian and be a Mason? Do a little bit of Google. Do a little bit of research on that, see. And so understand that part of the enemy's job is infiltration. Hey, Jared, go to Ezekiel 9 for me. Big part of the devil's job is infiltration. That's right. Remember the thing we'd played on Cicero? About the traitor walking amongst you, speaking the same language? Spiritual infiltration. What they've done to us here in America. So we were discussing upstairs earlier today why so many don't get it. There it is. Jared put Marcus Tullius Cicero's quote up there. Devil infiltration. Are you ready? Here's what Cicero said. A nation can survive its fools and even its ambitious. But it cannot survive treason from within. Hey, folks, we've had a foreign entity sitting in the White House for 8 years. We want to deny what we see. We want to deny it. Hear no evil, see no evil. Not only is he a foreign spiritual entity, he's clearly on the side of Islam. Clearly. We deny it, but it's true. And what he's done in the last 8 years is exactly what Cicero said, but it cannot survive treason from within because an enemy at the gates is less formidable, for he's known and carries his banner openly. Talking about infiltration here. But the traitor moves amongst those within the gate freely. His sly whispers rustling through all of the alleys, heard in the very halls of government itself. For the traitor appears not to be a traitor. He speaks in accents familiar to his victims. He wears their face and their arguments. He appeals to their baseness that lies deep in the hearts of all men. He rots the soul of a nation. He works secretly and unknown in the night to undermine the pillars of the city. He infects the body politic so that it can no longer resist. A murderer, Cicero said, is less to fear than a traitor. That's what we're dealing with, boys. That's why this guy who doesn't understand spiritual things feels something. He feels something. It's the smoke. It's the residue of the clashing of the, wow, the clashing in the heavenlies. Feel it. So I want to, again, I forgot where it was. If anybody want to jump in here, let me know anytime. You know me, I'll rattle on and on and on. We look around, and I said that last night, I picked up Tim Tuber. Tim flew in last night from Oregon. Rich drove in, or flew in from Granite City, St. Louis. Michael came in from Savannah. Robert came in from some town down there in Georgia. They drove in there. Chad's coming in today, flying in today. We got guys coming from every place. I said to Tim Tuber last night, you have any idea the odds of you being here right now? Was it just a coincidence that you just happened to come across a video and you looked at that video and the next thing you know, 7 months later, you're sitting in Hebron, Ohio, getting ready to go to Washington, D.C.? You can think that's a coincidence if you want to. You can. And all of the other guys that are down here in the queue, Michael sitting out there in Washington watching, Sarge up in Maine, watching, people watching all across. And see, so we go out and we say, why can't others, why won't others see? Don't you understand they can't see? I'm gonna set you free here this morning, okay? I'm going to let you quit pulling this muscle. I call it the come on muscle. Come on. Come on. Hey, JR, you got a sore muscle yet? Come on. Come on. Come on. They're coming. They're not coming. God has always operated on a principle that we refuse to want to accept in the body of Christ, and that is this: broad and narrow, many and few. It's all throughout the scripture. And God never delivers by a majority. He always delivers by a small committed group. Always. Check it out. David had all the army standing with him, and it was one little dude with a rock. God worked through that one little dude with a rock. And we read the story of Gideon yesterday. Gideon had 32,000. The Lord said, you got too many. He whittled it down to 300. He said, let's go get them now, man. Now we're set up and ready to go. God never moves through the majority. Okay? So when you watching, some of you folks are watching this show every day, and you go to church on Sunday and you bite your lip. You go to your Sunday school class and you bite your lip. You don't want to talk to them. You don't want to tell people because you don't want to be rejected. Somebody say amen, because I know it's true. It's all right. We're among friends here. And so we have to get by that. See, we have to get by that. I got you in. What did I say? Ezekiel chapter 9. Okay. Hey, George. Hate to tell you this, or maybe I don't hate to. I'm honored to tell you, George. You've been marked. Yeah, you've been marked. You know, we in Christianity, we love to talk about the bad side. Don't take that mark. Don't take that mark of the beast. Don't dare do that. Be careful. Don't take that mark. Well, hey, George, I got a mark for you. Y'all be glad you're taken. We don't talk much about that mark, do we? Do we? Ezekiel 9, he cried also in my ears in a loud voice. This is the Lord crying to Ezekiel, saying, cause them that have charge over the city. We're going to Washington, D.C. You hear me? Now, those of you who are listening who can't go, I'm going to ask you this from as serious as a judge. Please be praying for us. please be praying for us all the next several days. Please be praying for us. Okay? We're going to the principalities and powers. He cried also in a loud voice, saying, cause them that have charge over the city to draw near to me, even every man with his destroying weapon in his hand. God says, get all the people in here, and whatever that weapon is, that destroying weapon, you tell them to bring it, and you come bring them to me. And behold, six men came from the way of the higher gate. You understand levels? Six men came from the way of the higher gate, which lieth toward the north, and every man a slaughter weapon in his hand. And one man among them was clothed with linen and a writer's inkhorn by his side. And they went in and they stood beside the brazen altar. Get the picture? Brings in six rulers, six leaders. They all come in with their bloody swords, whatever it has. And they come in and they stand beside the altar. Verse 3, and the glory of God of Israel was gone up from the cherub, whereupon he was, to the threshold of the house. There's the spiritual and the natural together. And he called to the man clothed with linen, which had the writer's inkhorn by his. He's got a stamp, okay? Writer's inkhorn. He's got a stamp. And the Lord cries out to the guy who has that stamp. Maybe he's the county recorder. Who knows what he is? But he has the authority to tattoo something here. And he cries out to him, and the Lord said unto him, go through the midst of the city, through the midst of Jerusalem, and tattoo a mark upon the forehead of the men that sigh and cry for all the abominations that be done in the midst thereof. Do you get that picture, Rich? Do you guys get that picture? The Lord is sending somebody, and he says, I'm looking for all the people whose hearts are sick about what's happened. They are sick. And when you find the one whose heart is sick, you take that brand and you tap that on that dude's forehead. Some marks are worth taking. Hang on. Verse 5. And to the others, he said in my hearing, go you after him through the city and smite him. Let not your eye spare, neither have you pity. Verse 6, this is the same Jesus. This is the same Jesus. Slay utterly, not just slay, slay utterly old and young, both maids and little children and women, but come not near any man who has that mark on his head. And he said, once you do this, start at my church. So it says, begin at my sanctuary. And then they began at the ancient men, which were before the house. And he said unto them, defile the house and fill the courts with the slain. You get this? Bring them in here. You go out there and you kill them and you bring them in here. Wow. Defile the house and fill the courts with the slain. Go ye forth. And they went forth and they slew in that city. Your best life now, right? Oh, my goodness. And it came to pass while they were slaying him, and I was left, that I fell upon my face and cried and said, oh, Lord God, will thou destroy all of the residue of Israel and thy pouring out of the fury upon Judah? You going to kill everybody, the Lord? The Lord said unto me, the iniquity of the house of Israel. How about this? The sin of the nation of America and the church and America is exceedingly great, and the land is full of blood, and the city is full of perverseness. For they say, the Lord hath forsaken the earth, and the Lord see it not. But as for me also, my eye shall not spare, neither will I have pity, but I will have recompense their way upon their head. And behold, the man clothed with linen, which had the inkhorn by his side, reported the matter, saying, I've marked him. I've done what you asked me to do. Yeah, Rich?
Where is that teaching?
Where is that teaching? Right? And see what Rich said again, coming back to the few and many, right? The few and many. He said, you're going to kill them all? You're going to kill them all? He said, I got me a small group. I just got me a small group and they all been marked. You'll know who they are, man. I got a small group. This idea that it's going to be many, no. Because he says, listen, go bring them and pile them up here in the church where they've spent all their time coming in here saying that they were worshiping me and going out and doing all this hellish stuff. He said, you not only slay them, you bring them here. You lay them in here. Now, I'm not going to D.C. to slay people, right? Okay? I want everybody to relax a little bit. But do you see this? Ezekiel 9? The Lord speaking to do. I could go on and on, but it gets better. It gets better. Your best life now, Raj. It's your best life now. So again, understand, we're engaged in a spiritual war, and you're watching this show, and you don't even know why, and you don't even know how. In fact, if I were to open up the phones and I were to say, hey, tell me, how did you get connected here? It's going to be something, some freaky thing had happened that connected you here. It's not, it appears to be by happenstance, but fellas, it ain't by happenstance. It isn't. Somebody jump in here.
Coach, the trouble is that most people are not aware of the spiritual dimension of life at all. And in the church, the emphasis is always on what the devil can do, and they're not into the spiritual dimension that we have through the anointing of the Holy Spirit. See, if you guys are going to Washington, D.C., if you're walking under the anointing, it doesn't matter what's there. It doesn't matter that there's demonic forces there. I've been to Washington, D.C. before, and I have felt what is there. And I know that it's a spiritual battle that you're talking about. When you walk in the anointing, though, you have the protection of God, and he is the one who makes things change and move. See, I really believe that there's an anointing on Trump. I have watched this going on for this last year and a half, and the anointing is there. Look at all of the people he fought against, 16 or 17 others. All of the people, all of the media, all of the things. Why is he still standing? There has to be something of the anointing of God in this plan that is going on right now. And if we become aware in the spirit, we will see that God's dimension is bigger than what we are fearful of. And that's where I see everything. It's in the spirit. It has to be. And you, if you're anointed, Coach, and I feel that you guys are walking in the anointing, and you don't need 100 people. You just need committed, anointed people to speak the word. And once that word is spoken, there's a dimension that takes place, and it changes the atmosphere.
Well, good word, Michael. Let me give you a situation I shared with the guys up around breakfast today. About a year and a half ago, we went and stood and fought with Kim Davis. Most of you remember that story. The county clerk down there in Grayson County, I think it is, Grayson, Kentucky. Yeah, thanks. We went down there and stood with her. And, you know, we thought we were down there standing with Kim Davis. And we were down there standing with Kim Davis. But something came across my wire today, the wire today. Do you know that Kentucky just yesterday passed two extremely restrictive abortion bills? The state of Kentucky is going to end abortion, something John Kasich didn't have the whatever to do, right? Now, hang on, because most of you don't know this. Because of what happened to Kim Davis, the biggest political upset in the history of the state of Kentucky took place. And this no-name, nobody thought much about right-wing religious fanatic named Matt Bevin was elected governor of Kentucky because of the backlash of what had happened to Kim Davis. Google it. You may not believe me. Google it. It was a political upset And isn't it amazing that Matt Bevin now is sitting in the position to be able to sign that anti-abortion bill? Why? Because we showed up and thought we were fighting for Kim Davis. See, it's never what we think it is, fellas. I'm just telling you, it ain't never what we think it is. There it is, Matt or Mike. Jared threw it up there. Kentucky Governor Matt Bevin urges preachers to ignore federal law on. Is that unbelievable? I'm getting goosebumps. Matt Bevin, hey JR, would not be governor of Ohio, of Kentucky today, if Kim Davis hadn't done what she did and if we hadn't shown up. He would not be governor of Kentucky today. That is the spiritual realm reaching down into the natural and having an impact that we didn't even see. You get it? So when we run into Washington, D.C., people say, what are you going to Washington, D.C. for? Because I'm supposed to? Because the Lord told me to? Because he's my commander-in-chief and he asked me if I would go represent him? And I said, yeah. I will. I'll go and I'll try to take some other guys with me. Well, what do you think you're going to accomplish? I'm going to lift up the name of the Lord. I don't know what I'm going to accomplish, but I'll promise you this. I'm going to accomplish a hell of a lot more than you're going to accomplish sitting in your church on Sunday. I promise you that. Well, now you're mad at me. Well, pray.
I want to say this. It doesn't matter what you are going to accomplish. What matters is that you're going to speak God's word, and that's what accomplishes it.
That we obeyed, and we're going to go speak his word, and his word will not return void. Okay? But see, understand this. I just know right now, George wishes he could come. JR wishes he could come. See, that's inside you, right? That's inside you. Can I tell you why? Because some dude put a tattoo on your forehead. Tattooed you! Spirit recognized your willing. You understand that? He said to that tattoo guy, you go around and you see the ones who are mourning and groaning. You see who they are. You tattoo those boys for me. So the Lord's seen. The Lord's tattooed you. Now, you can be in the tattooed crowd or you can hide in church. Hey, I'm prophetically right now speaking to others who aren't, I don't even see on this screen. Somebody out there laying out in the hinderland, wasting the gift that the Lord has put inside of you. And I say, come on, man, arise, arise. Thomas, who was that? Patrick Henry? Is life so dear and peace so sweet as to be purchased at the price of slavery? God forbid! I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death. Whew. You feel that, don't you? See, you feel that. So here's what's great. We're going to be fine. We're going to go there. We're going to be fine. Oh, there'll be a little altercations. Yeah, it'll be scary. Yeah, it's like playing a football game, man. It's like going to war. I wasn't a soldier. I was never enlisted. I didn't go to Vietnam and actually have bullets shot in my head. I never did that. I didn't go to Iraq and understand that fear, wanting to wet your pants when you dive into a foxhole and they're dropping bombs. I never been there, man. I never did. I know this, that when you go to war, people are shooting at you. And so why should I go to war and expect I might be hurt? I might get hurt. But I know this, I'm dwelling in the secret place of the Most High, and I'm abiding under the shadow of the Almighty. And if he has got me covered, whether I live or whether I die, he got me covered. What am I afraid of here? What are we afraid of? And isn't it amazing how the other side isn't afraid at all? They're puffing, they're blowing our house down. And we're letting them get away with it. We're letting them get away. Somebody jump in here, man. I can't yell Tim Tuber to jump in here because he's right. Rich and Robert are standing at the door. Somebody in here jump in.
Coach.
Hey. Yeah. Go ahead, George.
Go ahead, George. Hey, I liked what you said yesterday when you said that the enemy is not immune from fear. And I think a lot of times we forget that. Hey, they're probably more fearful than we are. So when we walk out in boldness, that's huge. Just like we learned about Gideon yesterday when he was just obedient. Look what God did through just a handful of people.
The righteous are as bold as lions, George, the word says, and evil men flee when no one pursues. Now, George, why do they flee? Because they're afraid. They're scared, right?
You know, the enemy has been taught and trained to let the fear they experience motivate them for even greater effort. Right. We've been taught and trained to cower inside four walls of a building calling itself a church.
Larry just said, I'm going to repeat this because Rich and Robert over here, and they probably can't hear it. Larry just said that the enemy uses fear to motivate them to greater heights. See, we receive fear and cower. And we're supposed to be afraid of God. The thing we're supposed to be afraid of is the Lord. We are fearing the wrong thing. JR, you want to say something?
Well, we're in a spiritual battle, Coach.
Yep.
And that battle is either going to come to you or you're going to go to it. But you're not going to be able to avoid it. And you'd much rather play an away game than have that battle come to your home.
Yes, sir. That's a good point. And JR, whether we realize it or not, some people are going to be greatly physically injured in this spiritual war, and they don't even know it was a spiritual war, see? They don't even know it.
Hey,
we know it's a spiritual war, so we're going to go try to oppose that spiritual war so it doesn't manifest itself in the physical. Go ahead, Larry. I'm sorry, Larry. Hey, I just heard from Jim Kraft. Jim, we were just talking about, Rich and I were just talking about you yesterday. Jim says, you guys be blessed as you go with God. And he'll go be, we know he will, Jim. We love you, man. We were thinking about you yesterday. So thanks for that.
Coach, there's one other thing, you know, everybody worries about the sign of the, you know, the 666, all that crap.
Mark of the beast.
The thing is that there's also in Revelation, they talk about the sign of God on his people.
Mm-hmm.
So there's two signs. Have you got that sign of God on you? And that's the anointing that you fall under is
Hey, Michael, they may tattoo 666 on my butt, but they can't get it on my forehead because I already got an X up there, right? They ain't going to try to put another tattoo over the top of that tattoo. So I'm not worried of taking that mark of the beast. I already got an X marked on me.
Hey, guys, and listeners and watchers and everything, JR down here in the queue has received, I firmly believe, revelation and direction from God in a new effort he's doing. And he's spoken briefly of it, but he's established, and there's a group of folks helping him with this, the Natural Family Foundation. And there will be a website coming out very soon, within days, et cetera, et cetera. But if you want to take and get your toe wet in the water and step into the spiritual battle, join with JR and the Natural Family Foundation. Our first project is going to be one of the prevalent TV shows, probably Modern Family, and we're going to do a real boycott of it. And by real boycott, I mean this. Not only are we not going to watch that nonsense and encourage other people not to watch it, we're going to notify by email, by letter mail, by telephone calls. We're going to inundate the producers of that television show and tell them we are not participating in watching it or supporting it anyway, and why. And also, we are going to identify their number one advertiser, the number one company that is buying sponsorship time for them on the airways, and we are going to boycott no matter how popular their product is. We've made up our minds we're not going to support that company in any way, shape, or form. We're also going to inundate them with emails and letters and phone calls, tell them exactly why their sales numbers are going down and what it will take for their sales numbers to increase.
So, Larry,
to recover. And that will be to stop and withdraw their sponsorship of that program. And we may not ever get that program kicked off the air, but when we make the very first victory of getting one advertiser to withdraw, we can use that newsworthy item to get our foot in the door and to get our message further and further and further into the heart of the country.
So if you guys saw me preening a little bit, I have a reason to. I saw yesterday that Target lowered earning expectations. That's what Larry's talking about. Did you guys see that? They lowered earning expectations again. I'm telling you, the story actually said this, that their internet business had picked up, but that their in-store operations had cratered. Had cratered. Jesus loves them, though, boys. Jesus loves them. That's a noble thing you're doing, JR, and we'll help with all that, man. I don't know how my wife stays married to me. I want to say this real quick before I go off. I want to honor my wife today. You guys would not believe. You just wouldn't believe what she did for these four guys here. She's scurrying around here. Somebody said something to her about sit down and eat with her. I said, let her fly, will you? Just let her buzz. That's what she does best. And she made a meal last night and a meal this morning and made beds and washed clothes. And I just so honor my wife. Just, you know, we're a team. She never says, oh, you bringing those guys coming over here again? They'll be stinking everything up, using our towels. No. Not Michelle. So I just honor her for all she's done. Hey, a couple minutes left here, guys. Anything, any questions, anything to add here as we run out the clock?
I want you to know, Coach, you talk about your grandchildren, and it makes me green with envy. But what you guys going down to Washington, D.C., and I can't be with you, it's tearing me up. I want you to so bad. Like, I just can't get away.
Can I tell you why it is? Because the Lord said unto him, go through the midst of the city, through the midst of Westerville, and set a mark upon the foreheads of the men that sigh and cry of all the abominations. Yeah. See, that tattoo's on your head. It's on your head. You already been marked. Why? Because you've been sighing and crying. You didn't sign up for it. The Lord's been watching. And the Lord said, hey, I see what you've done. Bang. On your forehead. Get it? It's good stuff, isn't it? Now, they want to talk about the mark of the beast and 666 and be afraid. Don't take it. I said, give me that other mark, will you, Lord? Hey, Lord, give me that other mark. I want that other one. I want that big X right in my forehead. Whatever it is, this guy, I guess it doesn't say what it is. Does it say X? Rich says 777. They just called a mark, man. Whatever that thing is, tattoo that baby on my head. Hey, Sarge, you got it. I can see it. I see it on that bald forehead. You got yourself that mark. Michael, you got a mark. Weaver, you got that mark right on the middle of that daggone forehead. Chris, no matter what, you can't shake it off. Sorry, you've been outed. You've been outed. They know who you are. Quit hiding. That mark's already been placed on your head. 2 minutes, anybody? I can close down right now. Anybody got anything you want to add here? Kevin, we'll see you in D.C. Get there and get everything all laid out for us. Anything we can do, let us know. Roger's got some duties to do. George, we appreciate all of you. And I don't want you to think just because you're not here that you're not part of the team, because you already got the mark. You're on the team. Sometimes you can go. Sarge sent out a great email yesterday to our Salt and Light Brigade. Said, listen, SWAT team's moving, man. SWAT team's going to D.C. And that's the way this whole thing's going to work. And some of you out there are going to pray for us. And some of you are going to write some. We're moving forward. Some's going to bail us out of jail.
Can I say one?
We hope Roger brings a bunch of money to bail us out of jail if that's needed. Yeah, go ahead, Mike.
One thing is, I am not jealous that you're going. I have learned that when you have the anointing of the Holy Spirit, wherever you are, wherever he's got you, it is there and it happens through you. So many things have happened to me since I joined your queue in the last 6 months and with Larry Nichols and everything, mm-hmm. that have been a dimension that has been beyond comprehension. I haven't moved out of this house in over a year and a half because of Virginia. And I'm telling you, the dimension of what has been going on in my life with other people, touching some of the men right here on your queue and everything else, there is a dimension of the Holy Spirit that when you come alive and you know him as your personal friend, and he will guide you into all truth, dimensions and things happen beyond your fondest dreams or expectations, because you are in him, and that's where everything opens
Amen.
Up.
Amen. Okay, boys. So here's the marching order. Those of you who can't make it to the game, paint your faces and put on your Buckeye necklace and pray and cheer on those of us who are getting on the field. You say, you know, I couldn't make it to the game this time, but I'm with you in spirit, got my face painted, praying for you, and we're going to move forward as a body of Christ, and we're going to take back what the devil stole from us. Hey, now listen. We're going to be doing live broadcasts from the parade and from the witches walk, Million Witches Walk. We're going to be doing live broadcasts, and we're going to try to send out notifications. Hey, we're on the air now, and we'll give you a good feel for what's going on there. So pray for us. God bless you. Stand up for Jesus. We'll see you live tomorrow from Washington, D.C. God bless you.